Hello and welcome to another installment of the Casual Trekker. This is Scott. This is going to be my reaction to the season 2 finale of The Way Home on Hallmark Channel. Next day aired on Peacock. And wow. The whole season has been kind of like a slow burn reveal of 1814 stuff. Compared to the first season, where like every episode was just like something new going on, something new is dropping that led us to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. In the season one, season two was primarily focused on 1814, linearly. There was, of course, the time, you know, the time travel aspect part where you get something that you already had beforehand because it was done there already, because we're in a predestination paradox thing. That was all there. But it was primarily done linearly through 1814. So we got to see the relationship between Elijah and his wife and his son a little bit, and Susanna and Thomas. And we got to see all of these different things. And we got to see how Kat reacted to Susanna, and then we got to see the adult Jacob that came like toward the end of season two. And the whole season we knew that there was a couple things that were going to happen that were going to be like, okay, jaw on the floor type stuff, the way that it was brought, like the Lingamore party. We were given information of way earlier. And did it stick the landing, I think, with the severity that we were anticipating, and how long it took to reveal it? I think that we built it up higher and affected so much that when the writers showed us what they were doing, it was anticlimactic. Had that party stuff been done like teased and answered immediately, probably would have had so many different fan theories and all the various fan groups that we just keep on raising it up, till it was like the writers could do nothing to make us go, wow. What they did made a lot of sense for the plot, that Kat didn't remember seeing Alice, even though she sees Alice at Lingamore. I think a lot of that has to do with the writers trying to make the audience go, is she changing time or is she not changing time? Because the whole time so far, they have not been changing time. Because we know this from season one, when the last thing that Alice did was mail the letter, and the first thing that they were reacting to in the timeline was the delivery of the letter, which means everything that they had done up until that point had already been done. So Alice went back to that party, and things weren't happening the way that it was supposed to happen. She thought that she was changing the timeline, but in reality, she was allowing the timeline to lead to where it needed to lead. Now, is there bits and bobs that are like the writers didn't fully realize what they were doing with something here and there? Of course, that's true for every single show. But then you could also take those differences and chalk it up to, maybe they are in a predestination paradox, but it's not like rewinding a DVD and pressing play again. That there is going to be minor differences, but the minor differences don't change from the overall scheme of the thing. Like if I paint the apple red instead of green instead of blue or something in the portrait, it doesn't change the overall portrait dynamic. It's still going to be the same stuff. It's just that little detail is a little different, but it's still an apple and it's still present and it's still there. So one could argue that could be the predestination paradox that we're working with, because there are basically two types. One is the predestination paradox where the event itself has to happen. Then there's the other predestination paradox where it does happen, but it can happen differently. Like if the cup of water falls off the stand, I go back in time and try to prevent it from happening, but then I find out that it has to happen, so then I stop it from happening, and then myself, I then knock it off. So then my future self goes back in time And then I become the reason why it got knocked off, even though originally it was knocked off a different way. But because we knocked it off, because I knocked it off now, and the other person knocked it off first, both things lead to me coming back to try to prevent it from getting knocked off. So that's all fine and good. And the show's not over with. It got renewed for a third season, so we can't really judge what's happening with the stuff too harshly yet. Until the series is wrapped all the way, then you can go back and go, did this make sense thematically? Did this make sense story-wise? Did this make sense with season one or season two, Kat and Alice, and vice versa? But in this one, season two, we got a huge reveal twice over. We learn that Colton is the little boy by the lake, or a pond, with the grandma person, saying that I know that is calling to you, but it's not time for you to go yet. Then we find out that Elliot and Alice went back in time so Elliot could say goodbye to Colton and get 5 more minutes, and he was the one that helped put the stuff into his room before Alice even arrived there. So the events that led to him living in the barn already existed before Alice even traveled backwards in time. So that's like, it just double downs on predestination paradox. Because the events of Elliot and going back in time and his barn being fixed up by that person in the neighborhood or town or whatever was actually Elliot. That was in season two. So in season one, we were experiencing the effects of season two already. We just didn't know yet till it got revealed to us. And, it was a pretty crazy season finale. I do wish that the Jacob stuff came earlier. I do think because Jacob has yet to go in the house, that when season three happens, they're gonna get interrupted from going in the house. They're going to be stopped, because otherwise you might as well just have the door open up and Del sees Jacob, and they both eyes go wide and then cut. Then we get the ramifications of that in the next season. But because they didn't do that, it's entirely possible they're going to do what they did in season one, where we think Jacob's going to go inside, but in reality he's just going to go inside for a second and then leave again. So I think that maybe Colton, that we see bouncing around in time at the very end, we saw he was watching the event behind Alice and Elliot of himself with young Elliot at the family get-together 2 weeks before Alice arrived. So I'm curious if adult Colton is now going to come out of the pond and be in 2024 and stop his son from going into the house to blow Del's mind, because that would be a lot to process, that your son missing for 24 years, went into a pond to 1790 something, lived there for 24 years, your adult daughter went back in time to go get him, after your granddaughter went back in time to send a letter to make them go to, there's just a lot to swallow there for poor Del, and I don't know how they're going to do it realistically. Granted, it's a fantasy, but you got to still have 90% realism in order to make your show grounded, really. So I think they're going to be stopped from going in the house. I think when the season opens up, Colton's going to walk up to him and says, wait, let's go over here real fast and have a little conversation. And he's never going to go in the house. Or he's going to take him by force and go jump in the pond or something, to bring him back to where he's supposed to be or something. Or maybe we're going to find out that Colton actually goes into the future. Who the heck knows? Because all we know is that Colton does die in season one. That doesn't mean that Colton can't go to the future. Even though according to Elliot, you can't. But all those rules are made to be broken, because they're all just guesses. They're not actual rules. It's not like there was a sign next to the pond that says, here's all these actual rules. They're Elliot's theories. Which means you could theoretically go to the future. The pond wants you to go there. So the pond is like the Star Trek character guardian of forever. And he controls where you go and whatever else. So Could I be wrong? Could he just walk in the house and Dell be like, oh my God, it's you, Jacob, and everything else? Entirely possible. But I don't think they're going that way. I think season 3 set it up to where Colton is going to come and stop them from going back in time. And they're going to have a little powwow. And that's why he said, my Catherine, is because he's going to know the conversation that Kat had about my Catherine in 1814 in the portrait in season 1 from the conversation he's going to have with Kat before he travels back to get in that truck to die, to talk to her before she goes back to 1814. Yeah, I know it's convoluted and complicated, but they could very well do that. Somebody has to go back and see what Colton's wearing in each of the time that he's on screen. They compare to what he's wearing in the season 2 finale to see where he would be in that point in time, because his clothes should match for the most part. Granted, he could have went to the pond and went to the house and changed, but he'd have to go see Dell. So I would think he'd be wearing the same clothes. Just like how the conceit is that the girls don't change their clothes. When they get back, they're just soppy wet and they dry off real fast or whatever. So on the overall of season 2, I rather enjoyed it. Was it better? Did I like it more than season 1? No, but only because I wasn't really a huge fan of the 1814 stuff and it kind of just drug on a little bit. But if you like historical pieces and you enjoy those sort of things, then that's great. And there's a lot of stuff there too, like the painting, and we find out that it's Susanna's signature thing, and then that leads to backwards writing, and that leads to the chimney thing, opening it up, finding a book that's been there since whenever Susanna put it in there. That's all great. But it was done in the finale instead of like episodes earlier. Like, they really stretched out 1814, where you weren't sure exactly how it fit in. They tied it up like a bow, like they might not go back there, with saying, oh, Thomas is fine, this didn't happen, and for all we know, Thomas jumped in the pond and he's gonna jump out at some point, just like what Jacob did. Or maybe he already did and he's been there the entire time waiting for time to catch up. That's also entirely possible. I gotta say, of all the time travel shows, The Way Home is gotta be my favorite because of all the characters and what they're doing and how much you can talk about each separate thing. Because you can talk miles and miles about what Kat did. You can talk the same distance about what Alice did. And you can, like, how does Dell not understand all these things? Or does she know more than she's letting on? Not to mention the Casey angle of the thing, which was the next mic drop, where Casey and Alice have the same ring on their necklace. So does that mean that Alice is the mom of Casey, or Casey somehow came in the family line, or that she was just like a good friend in the future and she came back in time to help Alice out, do something that she wasn't able to finish? You just don't know what that character Casey is going to do. You're not sure if they are, and that's the pronouns, they, them. You're not sure if they are going to be like a daughter. You don't know if they're going to be like somehow a sister or a cousin or some other relation, because she somehow would have got that ring and it's symbolic. So Alice just wouldn't give it to anyone. So the fact that Casey has that ring around her neck means something. And the question is, what does that mean? And that's why I'm very happy season 3 got greenlit, because if they didn't, they would have made for one hell of a season 2 cliffhanger that would have pissed off every single fan if that's where it ends at. Granted, season 3 could shit the bed, you don't know, but it could also be amazing. It's like season 1 was really good with the 1999 stuff. Sure, there's probably the problems with ages and whatever else, but unless it's said on screen, it doesn't matter. Somebody has to say, Kat, it's your 15th birthday, or, oh, I was 15 at that time. Then you can kind of correlate the dates. Then you'd be fine. But if you're just assuming something, and then that doesn't make it be a plot hole. That doesn't make it be a breach of the story. But there are issues. Remember, it's a TV show. It's written by people, and sometimes there's errors that happens. As long as the errors don't outweigh the good of the TV show or the episode you're watching, then you're fine. So if it's 98% fine, then you're good. If you can still get enveloped in the story and you can care about these characters, then they're doing a damn good job. Season 1, season 2 did just that. season one, we had no idea who Susanna was, Thomas was, Cyrus was, Elijah. We didn't know about young Jacob Jr., and we didn't know about older Jacob. We didn't know about any of those people. And season two really fleshed out those characters to where you could talk about them almost the same amount that you can talk about Kat or Alice or Dell. Yeah, season two was just like a mindfuck. It was really good overall, and just the season finale itself. Do you have to watch every episode to know what's going on? Probably not. Him arriving in the boat, and then him being brought out of the jail, and then that's pretty much it. And then you can just watch the first like three episodes. You could probably skip like two or three episodes. You couldn't do that with the first season. You couldn't skip anything. This one here, you could probably skip one or two and be fine. So I can't wait for season three. It's already been greenlit. This means they're going to start writing on it. They're going to start acting on it. And it's going to be released sometime probably in 2025, I'm guessing. It'd be really crazy if it was late 2024, but I'm guessing 2025. But I think that it can keep on going. I love the characters. Not to mention the reveals that we keep on getting about Elliot and Kat and Alice and their dynamics. More of exploration of how Alice came to be. The relationship between Kat and Dell. I mean, all the stuff is just kind of just coming out in little drips, and it's pooling into this really great picture that we're being able to see get made. It definitely is better to do in a binge, because there's a lot of questions you have per episode. So it's nice to just go from one to the next right away, immediately, not have to wait a week. Because when you start postulating and theorizing, you get ahead of yourself, and then you make it more interesting. And then when it actually happens, you're like, was that really as fun as it could have been? So granted, there is some weaknesses in the season overall, in the episode itself. No show is void of that. It just happens. It's just part of the course. But on an enjoyability level, thoroughly enjoyed it. Five stars, two thumbs up. Great series, great season one, great season two. Season one was great. The ending was great. Season two was okay to fine to excellent. Season two finale was fucking crazy. Like, what the fuck did I just watch? Elliot going back in time, the ring around Casey's neck, and young Colton being by the pond and a time traveler makes a whole slew of other questions become apparent. And it kind of harkens back to season one. What did Colton know in season one? Why did no one investigate this pond? Are we going to get a Colton point of view now in season three? That'd be interesting to see from his perspective what things are happening and how they come in, and maybe it might make things more clear for us or more convoluted. We just don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see. I know I plan to watch it. So that's gonna conclude my podcast on season two, season finale, and basically overall season two of The Way Home. Thanks for listening.